How many know there are consequences to sin? There are consequences. That's why the Bible says that the ways of the transgressor are hard. The ways of the transgressor, they may not even know it. You know, a lot of times when you're not serving God, when you're out of the house of God, you don't even realize. It's like you're blind to the fact that things aren't working. You're just blind to it. You don't realize your money's being stolen. You know, I mean, you're paying your bills, but just hand to mouth. You don't realize, you know, that you're depressed. You don't realize. I mean, you mask it with things. That, you know, if you're living in the world, you find things on a daily basis or an hourly basis to mask the things that are going on in your life. And it almost, the Bible says, the God of this world have blinded the eyes. So to live in the world and live that way, the Bible says the ways of the transgressor are hard. Now, God doesn't lie. If he said it's hard, then guess what? It's hard. So there's an easy and a hard. Serving God is the easy. Not serving God, the Bible says clearly, without unequivocally, unabased, he says it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to live a life like that. There are things that are being done in your life. Things are being shed from your life. You know, some of us will never know the losses we've experienced. I mean, you may have had a great life and things have been going well for you, but you may not even know what could have been. You might not even know what could have been in your life. I mean, some of the things that were passed up or missed out on because you made the decision. I know that there were some setbacks during those few years that I didn't serve God. There were some setbacks. Now, I thank God, the Bible says, redeem the time for the days are evil so I can have a comeback. Amen. Sometimes you have to have a comeback, but there are some setbacks. Somebody say amen. And so this scripture tells us something very, very critical and very, very important to the believer. It's very important. Now listen, if we love God, we're gonna try and serve God. We're gonna do all we can to be in the house of God and love on the things of God and love the people of God. And the reason is because this is the title of my message, Serving God Pays. Look at somebody say, Serving God Pays. It pays to serve God. I promise you, it pays to serve God. Now, it doesn't pay the way you would think it pays. Because some people think, well, I'll put $100 in the offering, God's going to give me $1,000. And tomorrow they're expecting that. When it didn't come, they get sorely disappointed. But that's not what we're talking about. But let me just give you an example of how it does work. My wife and I have served God. We love God with all of our heart. Our children are blessed. Our house is blessed. But on Monday, we had a situation. My wife was driving down the road, and she had an accident. A car driving down the road, Palmetto, on narrow street, ran right into the side of our car, pushed our car right up against a telephone pole, and smashed the car up, so much so that the car was total. Smashed, the glass was busted out all over the place, and all that was terrible. And, you know, I mean, just in the natural, those things happen. But it pays to serve God. Here's what I mean by that. My wife nor my children that were in the car, none of them had any glass anywhere in their body. There were no cuts. There were no bruises. None of them were injured. None of them were hurt. Not even the lady driving the other car. Now, let me tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. That ain't a fluke. That's not just that. No, it was, I mean, they totaled out that car. It was a terrible crash. But God was there. You can't beat that out of me. I know God came and took care. The angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear the Lord. My wife and children were safe because it pays to serve God. Some people don't know that. They don't understand it. They don't get it. I mean, some have misplaced their faith. The Bible says this. It says that you are to lift Jesus up, and he will draw all men to himself. Yes. Lift Jesus up. Now, what I see today, and I don't mean this disparaging. I'm not trying to be negative about anything. But I see today a sales pitch. Many churches today are selling the church and adding Jesus to it. They're selling the church as if bringing people to church, and then you get them in there and you share Jesus with them, and that's it. That's the end of it. And so they fill their churches with entertainment. They fill their churches with all the things that bring people, and everybody joins the club. I mean, it's at some point it's so bad that if you're not part of that club, they shun you. You almost feel like you got to be part of the club. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, if you don't have the right shirt on, you're not going to the right church. But at the end of the day, I can tell you this. Listen to me clearly. If you're not serving Jesus, all of it's going to let you down somewhere.
Amen.
Churches will let you down. They will come under your expectation, no matter how good a church is. I love this church. But I'm telling you, this church will not ever be what's enough to meet the need in your life. Jesus is the only thing that will ever meet the need in your life. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. I tell you something, we've got to stop trying to get people to church to give them Jesus. We need to give them Jesus to get them to the church. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between being convinced and being convicted. There are many people that walk the aisles of churches today and they've joined the club, but nothing in their lives changed. No one discipled them. They didn't have any growth in their life. They didn't drop anything off. They didn't make any decisions to change anything. I got news for you. You didn't get the same thing that I got. When I got saved, I got a love for Jesus and fell in love with God in a way that no other love could ever compare. I'm so in love with Jesus that nothing ever in this life could ever meet up to what I've experienced in Jesus. Nothing could ever measure up. There's no measure. Nothing could ever measure. Nothing I've done measures up to the God in my life. I'm telling you, He's a good God to me. He was good yesterday. He's good today, and He'll be good tomorrow. And I promise you, it pays to serve God. It pays. It pays. I tell you, it pays to serve God. And they don't even know. People go to churches today, they really don't even know why they go. They don't serve anymore. This generation has lost its servicehood. They don't know how to serve. They don't know how to commit. They do everything out of convenience. They do it out of whatever fits at the moment in time, whether it works in my schedule or not, or whatever. But I remember a day growing up as a young person, some of these older people might know, we had services, and I'm going to just be fun. I remember having revivals 4 weeks, 7 days a week. Y'all remember those? We went to church 7 days a week, every day, for 4 weeks at a time. How many of you young people have gone to church 4 weeks in a row, 7 days a week? One. We had all-night prayer meetings. Does anybody remember the all-night prayer meetings? All right, there's a few more of y'all. There was such a level of love. Now, the world has changed, and no doubt about it, it has changed. I mean, because see, when I was growing up, you didn't open the stores on Sunday. How many know what I'm talking about? If you Sunday was the Sabbath, and you didn't open the door on the Sabbath. You know what I'm talking about? They didn't sell no booze and liquor on the Sabbath. Uh-uh. You could get drunk every day of the week but Sunday. They weren't going to sell you no booze on Sunday. Y'all, so the world has changed. We work on Sundays. We do things. But that does not mean that our levels of commitment and relationship should have changed based on the world's change. We still should have the same love for God that we had, whether it be in every generation. And see, what I see today is that we're not teaching people why they do what they do. They don't know. The young people today, they don't really have the knowledge that God pays. That there's a reason you go to church on Sunday. You don't go to church because it is a habit. You don't go to church. It may become a habit, but you don't go because it's habit. You don't go to church on Sunday because you're forced to go. Now, I think it's a good idea if you have young children in your house, till they leave, I'd make them go. That's right. I don't make my kids. You make them go to school, don't tell me that. Why would you make them go to school and not make them go to church? When eternity is more important than their own personal education. Somebody ought to say amen. I'd make sure eternity was equated that way, that it was listed at the highest priority. Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yes. Not all, but seek first, the first priority. If He's first, then everything else is? If Jesus is first, what is everything else? Second. Let me answer it for you. Nobody got that. It was like, what? If Jesus is first, what is everything else? You got to make everything else second. Why? Because it pays. Serving God pays. Serving God pays. There is a benefit to serving God. Every time you come to the house of God, something is happening for you. Every time you hear a word from heaven, something is being deposited in you. Every time somebody lays hands on you, something is being imported into you, or placed into you, or changed in you. Every time you raise your hands in a service, God has a pad. God's taking note. God is watching. God pays. You see, I couldn't pay everybody in this room. I don't have enough money to give you $100 and you $100. But every time you come, I tell you something, God sees it and God has noted it and God pays. There's something going on in heaven on your behalf, on a benefit. You can't afford to miss out on the benefit of heaven, on the benefit of God. You come to church, yes, you love him, but also because he loves you. Somebody say amen. You hear a word, you raise your hands, you be a part of all the services you can be a part of. You know, I mean, it's just ought to be like water. It ought to be like breathing. That the house of God ought to be, you ought to have a love for God so much that it drives you to serve him. But let me give you some reasons why. There was a young man, we had a young man going to our church. And on Tuesday, this young man, he doesn't come very often, but he comes, and he used to come quite regularly, but we knew him very well and his family. On Tuesday, he was out on the football field with a bunch of guys, and lightning struck him. It's been 25 years in Florence since anybody been hit by lightning. This kid got struck by lightning. And the five guys that were there all fell to the ground. He didn't get back up. And so they rushed him to the hospital with cardiac arrest and all this stuff. Anyway, when I got there Tuesday after the event, my wife and I walked in the room. The doctor had just left and said that he wasn't doing well. Wasn't breathing on his own. His hands were clutched. They weren't sure about where his brain was at, the activity of his brain. There were some very serious concerns, and the mother was very distraught. And so I walked in and realized, now I said, it pays to serve God. It pays. She had gone enough that she had a relationship with this church and me as a pastor. Now, I know I'm not saying my prayer was any greater than anybody else's or any of that stuff. I'm not equating me higher. Amen. I'm just saying I walked in, and the presence of God came in that room when I laid my hands on that boy. I put my hands on his head. And I commanded him to come back. I commanded that lightning to fail and that whatever was wrong with him be made right, that everything they were doing would work. And I tell you, the presence of God came in that room. He calmed right down. The mother sensed the presence of God. It was like God walked in that room. I'm just telling you. When I left, I had a note of victory. I knew. But see, you have to understand, her relationship with this church, I believe, made a difference in her life. It made a difference. I mean, an impact can be made by the relationships that you derive in the house of God. It pays to serve God. You don't need to go it alone. God doesn't want you to go it alone. But you have to understand, you've got to serve God. God is the one who pays that price. God is the one that you have to serve. You'll be disappointed if you don't serve God. If you follow charisma and charismatic teaching, I think I'm a good pastor. But here's the thing. I'm going to decrease one day. The Bible says you must decrease that I may increase. Every person that you follow will decrease except for God. Jesus will never fail you. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That's why you hear me get up here and say, I didn't come to church for you. I didn't come to church for the name on the sign. I didn't come to church for the cookies and the ice cream. I didn't come to church for the social event. I came to church because Jesus said it. Forsake not the assemblies of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I came to meet with Jesus. I came to meet with Jesus. I didn't come to have a friendship relationship. I came to meet with Jesus. I'm here because of Jesus. Every time I run, every time I jump, I know God sees it. And I didn't do it because you like it. I did it because he likes it. Somebody ought to say amen. I made choices for him. Why did I make these choices? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, God is good. He was good yesterday. He's good today, and he will be good tomorrow. It pays to serve God, because God will be good to you. Look at somebody and say, God will be good to you. Say this, he's a good God. That poor lady, she said this to me. She said, we were in the hospital, and she said, Pastor Steve, she said, as we prayed and God touched that boy in that room and we were all crying and God was in the room, and she said, I just knew God wouldn't take my son. I said, ma'am, I stopped her. I said, you do know it would have been lightning that took your son. It would have been lightning that took your son. It wouldn't have been God that took your son. It would have been lightning that took your son. I wonder if anybody got what I just said. You know, we fight three things in this world: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look at somebody and say, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't fight God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. If it's good, it's God. And there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning, meaning if it's bad, it's not God. He doesn't do bad. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. You and I are spirits. We live in a body, and we have a mind, will, and emotions. That's our soul. Look at somebody and say, you're a spirit. You're a spirit. That's why the Bible said you could crucify your flesh. You could crucify your flesh. Who's going to crucify the flesh? Him? God? No. You will crucify your flesh. Who is going to renew your mind? You. You are going to renew your mind. You renew your mind. So who's you? Who? The spirit is the real you. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a mind, will, and emotions. And the Bible says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Who does the presenting? God? No, you do. You make the decision that you are going to present yourself as a living sacrifice. You are going to be the one that tells your body, get up. You're going to church. Listen, if it was my choice this morning, I'll just be honest with you. If it was my choice this morning, I was tired last night. I stayed up. I didn't go to bed. When 5:30 rolled around, my alarm went off, I hit it. I hit the snooze. Anybody want to say amen? Around 7 o'clock, I know 9 o'clock is coming. Around 8 o'clock, my wife's like, you better go take a shower. I had to tell my body, you're going to go to church today, and you're going to preach to them folk. Now, y'all think that's crazy, but the thing is, that what we're missing today is that we've taught people that as long as it makes you feel good, as long as we've got the right music. See, it don't matter what kind of music. I don't have that. Nothing has to move me or motivate me to praise God. I'm going to do it because I'm going to tell my body to do it. I don't need to come and be entertained at church. Church isn't an entertainment center. It's a relationship place. It's where we come and make relationship with God. It's where we decide to follow God. We let our spirit man control it. I let my spirit decide. Because God pays. It pays to serve God. When you don't, you miss out. There's a lot you're going to miss if you don't serve God. You need to serve God. I will never regret. I only regret the years I didn't serve God. I have never regretted one that I have. Every year that I serve God, I've never regretted it. Not one of those years have I regretted. But I did regret the ones that I didn't. And if I could do those over, I would do them over. Look at this. Listen to what it says in another translation, James 1, 16 and 17. This is the Message translation. I normally don't tell you what translation it is, but I'll put it up. It says this, so my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and every beneficial. Every desirable. Do you have any desires? How many of you want benefits in life? Every desirable and every beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, and nothing fickle. In other words, everything that you need in life, beneficial or desirable, comes from God, and he will never change his mind about it. God's a good God, and it pays to serve God. Every desirable and beneficial thing comes from serving God. Psalm 23:5 says this, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, serving God means you'll never go bankrupt. Now, I'm not talking about physical bankrupt. I'm talking about you may have to go to the bank, but God will make it up. God will find a way. All things work together for the good. And I said, "Well, Pastor, I'll file bankrupt. I was serving God." God's going to get you out. He's going to cause you to recover. God's a good God, and He will make it up. He will change it. He'll turn it around. Serving God means you'll never go down. You'll never get shut down. You'll never get turned out. Somebody say amen. Look at this. Psalm 33:18. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear Him, and upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the time of famine." God will keep you alive when everybody else is falling apart. It pays to serve God. Our God keeps us and sustains us and helps us and keeps. I wouldn't live in this life without God. I don't know how people do it. They have to be blind. They have to be blind. Where do you get your help from? Whence cometh my help? Even from the Lord. You need to know God. You're missing out if you don't know Him. It pays to serve God. Psalm 37:18 says this, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and the inheritance, their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they will be satisfied." Nothing shakes a man that engages with God. Nothing shakes a man that engages with God. Serving God is the gateway to a drought-free life. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Drought-free living. And abundance in everything. Yes. Serving God is the gateway to abundance in everything. Yes. Serving God is everything to us. Ezekiel 23:25 says this, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread, bless thy water, and I will take sickness far away from your midst. There shall nothing cast their fruit, nor be barren in the land. And the number of the days will I fulfill." Sickness is broken. Everything you're looking for is found in these two verses. Yes. Thou shalt serve the Lord. Serving God pays. It causes us to live sickness-free, drought-free. Debt will be broken in our lives. God wants to bring us into a good land, into a prosperous life. And He's a good God. Somebody say amen. Nothing compares to serving God. It pays the most and it pays the best. Some of you need to stop working for a paycheck and start working for the payer. God is the one who supplies all your needs. Nothing compares. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto." Today you're sitting in this room. There's no other thing you can do in life that has no sorrow to it. Nothing. Every job. When you go to work, there's sorrow in the work. But when you serve God, there's no sorrow. The blessings of God make rich and add no sorrow. Nothing on earth offers that package. Nothing. Sorrow-free. Numbers 23:8. "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled?" Or defied. You see, nobody can call a man cursed who God blesses. And God is a good God. 1 Corinthians 2:9. "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man, the things God has prepared for those who love Him." God is a good God. See, you may be looking at your life right now. I can't go on because we've got to close. But you may be looking at your life right now and thinking, I don't know if my life's that great. Maybe you're standing here today and you've suffered from depression, discouragement. Maybe there's challenges going on. Maybe you're drug addicted. I don't know what's going on in your life. I have absolutely no idea. But I want to say this to you. Listen to me. Serving God pays. I promise you that serving God will pay off in your life.